Praise the Lord, amen.
Yes,
oh, it's wonderful to worship the Lord together. It's wonderful to praise Him. You notice that with this mask, my beard is growing. It's been fat. It's been irrigated with all the steam. Praise the Lord. It's marvelous to be together today, friends, and we look around what's happening in our world, in our province, in our own town. Things are getting bad. And we thank God that we can do our part in keeping safe and well. And not endangering anybody's life, but at the same time, still being able to worship together. Isn't that lovely? Still able to worship together. Thank you for logging on here this morning. I must say that we had a marvelous time so far, and I thank you for singing. And even some of you here on the screen, you sing notes that are not on my guitar, the neck of my guitar, but that's okay. Only you can hear. Praise the Lord. I want to do one more sermon, friends, the last one in a series called Available to God. And this is the fourth one now and the last one for a while. When American Idol first began, I must admit that I used to like to watch American Idol. The best part of the season was when the wannabes came to try out for in the auditions. And it was amazing to see that when Simon Cowell, is that his name? Yeah. Used to say, "Why are you here today?" Their replies were always the same. "Because I am the next American Idol." They would never say, "I want to be the next American Idol." It was always, "I am the next American Idol." It is amusing to see how bad some of these people were. They interviewed one young man who was about to audition, and they told something about his life. He had a band, his own band, back home. And when they interviewed his father, the father said that his son could sing like a bird. So everybody was waiting now expectantly. When the young man went into the audition room and opened his mouth, he sounded more like an animal being tortured. The judges were not impressed. Simon buried his head in his hand. Paula just stared at the floor. And Randy laughed out loud and said, "No, dog, you can't sing." It's funny, friends, that there are a lot of people in the world today that make themselves miserable because they are trying to be something that they are not. They have never found the purpose for which they were born. And the message of the Bible is that God has made each of us for a purpose. And until we find and live it out, we are missing out on something very important. We can rebel and go the other way, but we'll miss the blessing of finding the reason for which we were born. In Proverbs 19, verse 21, the Bible says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Isn't that marvelous, friends? All of us were born with a purpose of belonging to God and living for Him and using our lives to make this world a better place. He is our creator, He's our savior, He's our friend, and to miss out on knowing Him would be the greatest mistake in our lives. It does not take any special talent to live out our purpose, friends. God is not interested. He's not as interested in your ability than he is in your availability. You see that? He loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things, or as we say, extraordinary things. Allow me to give you a little background to our text this morning. Our text is from Judges chapter 6. And we find the nation Israel, in typical fashion, had once again turned their backs on God. This would happen after a period when things were going well, and then they would become self-sufficient, and in being self-sufficient, they would push God away. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Baptist pastor from years ago, he would say, "The Lord does not permit his children to sin successfully." Before long, an enemy would come in, and tough times spilled over into everyone's life. Friends, have you noticed that God uses tough times to get our attention? Look at our text this morning, and it's found in Judges chapter 6. We'll read the first 5 verses. "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so offensive, oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it." This first verse tells us that because the Israelites did evil in the sight of God, God's people were given over into the hands of the mighty Midianites. Verse 2 tells us that they were extremely powerful and oppressed the Israelites mercilessly. Because things were so bad, the Israelites, fearing for their lives, will flee from their homes and hide in mountain clefts and caves. Verse 3 says, whenever they planted some crops, the enemy would come and destroy them all. Verse 4 says, the enemy did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. Verse 5 says that the enemy would come like locusts and ravage the land. The Midianites was such a huge force, powerful force, that it was impossible to count the men and their camels. Whatever they couldn't carry away, they simply destroyed. And in the midst of all of this, friends, we come across a man named Gideon, who would be described as a timid introvert person when you first meet him. He goes through a significant metamorphosis. His life is transformed by an encounter with the Almighty God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find what is called among Christians the Spiritual Heroes Hall of Faith. A listing of God's spiritual superheroes. And among them, Gideon's name is found, together with people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abram and Samuel and Samson and David. And while God greatly used these individuals, it wasn't because they were strong and powerful and without faults. Let's look at verse 32 Hebrews chapter 11. It says, and what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, do you see that? Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the... Amen. Praise the Lord. Who quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. Now listen to this. Whose weakness was turned to strength. Amen. And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. I love that phrase. Whose weakness was turned to strength. Friends, Gideon is listed among the spiritual superheroes. When we think of heroes, we think of people who have strong determination, courage, and character. We think of someone who doesn't necessarily run from a fight. There's no question that Gideon was not such a man. In verse 11, of Judges chapter 6, we find him threshing the wheat hidden from view in a wine press. Wheat in a wine press. He was obviously a careful, cautious man looking to keep his family's crops from being stolen by the Midianites. He was no coward. But he certainly was not hero material. Let's look at verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Say, what? I love how the New King James puts it. The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. It's like, wait now. There's something not right. How could this be? Gideon is threshing his wheat in a wine press. And then this scared, nervous, timid man was looked upon as a hero by the Lord. Isn't that an encouragement to you? It's certainly an encouragement to me. If God can see the hero in Gideon, surely he can see the hero in you, in me. Amen. When the angel of the Lord said this, Gideon probably turned around expecting to see someone else. I'll bet Gideon was tempted to laugh out loud, mighty warrior, mighty man of valor. His first thought might have been, you've got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong man. You're actually looking for a great warrior, great soldier. You are looking for a superhero, but that's not me. Do you ever feel, friends, like you are too weak to do what God is asking you to do? You know what God has been asking you to do. You know what God's purpose is for you, but you feel that you're too weak to do so. But then listen, friends, God always sees us in a different light than we see ourselves. Thank you, Lord. We see our inadequacies and our failures and use them as excuses, but God sees our potential and he wants to use us for his purposes. Friends, the Lord sees positive potential in every person. The angel of the Lord didn't see Gideon in his present situation, hiding and threshing there some wheat in the wine press. No, the angel of the Lord saw Gideon and what he could become. God always sees more than we see. When he looks at you, he sees the hero in you. When God looks at Gideon, he sees a strong, brave, courageous soldier. Gideon's discouragement comes pouring out in verse 13. Let's look at verse 13. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." Gideon said, "How come?" The angel of the Lord doesn't argue with him. The angel of the Lord responds with a calling and a commission. And the commission is to deliver and free Israel during this time. Let's look at verse 14 to 16. The Lord turned to him. Lord faced him directly and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Theologians, many theologians, scholars believe that the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ himself and his work during the Old Testament times. "Haven't I sent you?" he said. Gideon questioned the commission. He was filled with thoughts about his own inadequacy. Verse 15. "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least, I'm the youngest of my family." He comes from the weakest link in his clan. He is the youngest in his family. He doesn't have the authority to call out soldiers from his own tribe and his family, let alone from the other tribes. And verse 16, I love this verse. The Lord answers, "I will be with you." Isn't that something, friends? "I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites together." Isn't that something, friends? That the Lord answers, "I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites together." The Lord promises to be with him as he is with us. Do you believe that, friends? The reason why many fail today is simply because they are relying on their own abilities. It wasn't Gideon's talents that God knew he could use. It was, in fact, his weaknesses God knew he could use. Friends, oftentimes God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. And he uses the weak things to confound the strong. Often God chooses unlikely men and women to accomplish great things. For example, David was just a shepherd boy. He was the youngest among his brothers, and yet he was later known as one who kills bears and lions and even giants. Rahab apparently was a harlot, and yet God used her to house two Israelite spies, which saved all of her house. Moses was hidden in a basket among the bulrushes as a child to escape death from Pharaoh. And later God used him to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Just as Gideon did not see himself as a mighty warrior, friends, listen. Many of us don't fully understand who we are in Christ. We don't understand who we really are in Christ. Some of us have an image of ourselves that is not only unhealthy, but it's unbiblical. We need to allow the truth of God's word to impact our identity. And let me go over a few of them for you. If you are a born-again Christian, friend, if you are a born-again believer, you are a child of God, John 1:12. You are God's friend, John 15:15. You have been chosen to bear fruit, John 15:16. You have been justified, Romans 5:1. You are free from condemnation, Romans 8:1. You will never be separated from the love of God, Romans 8:39. You belong to God, 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are a saint, Ephesians 1 verse 1. You have been adopted as God's child, Ephesians 1 verse 5. You are God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. You are a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. You have been redeemed and forgiven, Colossians 1:14. You are complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. Come on now. I don't know. I'm telling you who you are in Christ. Don't drag our feet and say, whatever, man. Know who you are. It changes how you are. God confirms his priority with his presence. In verse 16, we read, and God says to Gideon, and he says to you and I will be with you. God has given us a commission, and he also promised the companionship of the Lord himself. Gideon then asked for several signs. You've got to read these verses, man, something to be sure. And God gives him signs. And in Judges 6, verse 22, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. I've just seen Jesus," he would have said today. Gideon needed to understand who he was, and more importantly, he needed a personal encounter with God. Napoleon's soldiers used to say, when Napoleon takes our hands and looks at us, we feel like conquerors. Isn't that something? When the Lord turned and looked at Gideon, he must have had an overwhelming sense of peace that only comes from being in the presence of God. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. Isn't that wonderful? At your right hand are pleasures, man. Hey? Likewise, the most important thing we can do, friends, is to get to know God. Take his hand and look fully in his marvelous face, as the hymn writer says. And once we do, we will sense his presence. We'll understand his priorities. And in the process, we will be fired up and stirred up to do what he's calling us to do. Amen. You won't still put a question mark now. What must I do next? You will know what to do, friends. But you have to have that encounter with God himself. You've got to know his presence. You've got to recognize that he has a purpose for your life. And when you do so, you will be pumped, man, to do what God has called you to do. God loves to show himself when we feel weak. What? Here's some verses, two verses. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we were little, we used to memorize this verse. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for in your weakness is my strength made perfect." He delights in the difficult, but he specializes in the impossible. Isn't that true? That's our Lord right there. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Someone has said that we should attempt something so big that God, for God, that unless he's in it, it will fail. Amen. I'm sure that's how Gideon felt. I want to conclude, friends. What makes a hero? Is it one's own ability? Is it because you have a good teacher and you've had good training that now you're a hero? Or you are well built and you've got muscles everywhere? I'll tell you what really makes a hero. Listen, it's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. God took this timid, scared man who was once found hiding in the wine press and made him a great leader of his people. Yeah, we discovered the secrets of great heroes of the Bible. The real secret is that God chooses to equip people in special ways for his work and empowers them to do so. You say, "It's got nothing to do with my hairstyle." No! It's a gift from God. Judges 6, verse 33 and 34. "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered behind him." See what's happening here now, friends. Suddenly, Gideon blows the trumpet, and 32,000 men come out and fight alongside him. Amen. How did this happen? Well, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord took possession of him, empowered him. The Spirit is the same Spirit that empowers us today. He is a gift. Who is he? He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, in John 16, verse 7 and 8, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is to your advantage," Jesus was saying, for you that I go away. And if I go away, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus said in John 14, 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Then he said in Acts 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power." When? "After the Holy Ghost." I love that. is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Friends, listen, man, you may say this morning, you may say, I can't meet up to the challenge of being a Christian. I can't do what God is calling me to do. I can't tell others about Jesus. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. You can be that hero. If God can turn Gideon into a mighty warrior, a mighty man of valor, he can do the same for you. Amen. Friends, be encouraged by the example of Gideon, the mighty warrior, the mighty man of valor, mighty only because of God's mighty power, which enabled him to do great things. Right? Gideon didn't say, wait, Lord, I first got to go to military school. I got to learn how to do the sword fight. No, friends, if you are determined to endure and appropriate God's purpose for your life, God will turn your cannots into cans.
Amen. Amen.
Suddenly now, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Suddenly now, I can run and not get weary. I can walk and not faint. Do you see that? I can, friends. Would you like to see an unlikely hero? Everyone is saying.
Amen.
You want to see another one? Look around.
Yep.
Look around.
Amen.
And if you go home and look in a mirror, you'll see another one. Friends, the fact that we are all unlikely heroes. If it wasn't for God's mercy and grace, none of us would be able to do anything that we do for him. It's a gift. The gift that is to be treasured. Do you have the gift? Do you know the Holy Spirit that empowers men and women to do great things for his work, for the kingdom? God's gift is for you today, friends. Stop letting the enemy tell lies. You may feel like Gideon. You may feel like the least of the least. You may feel like you are just ordinary. But remember that ordinary people do extraordinary things. Amen. He will give you, when we give him all we've got, he supplies us with all we need and more. When we are incapable, he is capable. When we are weak, he is strong. When we don't know, he does know. When we are powerless, he is all powerful. When we don't have the answers, he is the answer. Praise the Lord. Friends, God is a master at using the unlikely. He is an expert of turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. Time and time again in Scripture, we see God's power manifested in lives of someone who on the outside doesn't look too impressive, but on the inside, they have submitted and surrendered his and her life completely to God. What about the disciples? Most of them were just fishermen. Not wealthy, not educated, not very influential. That is until they met Jesus. They met Jesus and Jesus got a hold of these poor, uneducated fishermen. And they were able to turn the Roman world right side up in a matter of 30 years. Well, You are just, you say, you know what? I don't feel like Gideon. I'm just ordinary. You feel like an unlikely candidate to do anything significant for the kingdom of God. Some of you are actually saying, yeah, not me. Mm-hmm. I wish so-and-so was, yeah, they needed to hear this. I'm going to leave it for the young ones. Let them do it. And so on and so on and so on. Well, if you feel that way, listen, friends. You are just the kind of person God loves to work with and through. Amen. He loves that. God doesn't use those who think they have already arrived. Those who think they know all the answers. Or those who think they can do everything. Because they are always busy listening to themselves to even hear what God is saying. And today, in closing, listen. God is saying to you this morning, God is saying to you, friends, on Zoom, God says, I love to work through ordinary men and women. I love it. Those who are truly willing to put their lives into the potter's hands and say to him, I am yours. Not much, but I trust you, God. Mold me and make me, fill me and use me after your will and for your purpose. Amen. 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 Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, in this world, we find many pressures put on your children. Pressures to conform to different standards of the world. And so, therefore, we go through life, Lord, always condemning ourselves as we feel we don't measure up to the measures of the world. Lord, we hold back in the house of God. We don't do what you have called us and purposed us to do. And this morning, you give us a lovely example, Lord, of just an ordinary fellow doing his work. And you call him a mighty warrior? Wait, Lord, that's just exciting. Because if you can call this timid, scared fellow mighty man of valor, what are you calling us, Lord? What more are you calling us? Help us, Lord, to step up to the plate, as it were. And like Isaiah, say, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Mm-hmm. Use me. Lord, I pray that you will continue like a potter. Continue to work in our lives, Lord. And above all that, Lord, to use us for the furtherance of your kingdom in whichever way you have purposed us to be used. Bless everyone in our church family, from the little babies to the seniors, Lord. And Lord, help us to be spurred on, to be encouraged, not to say this COVID is become an excuse now. But help us, Lord, to be faithful to that which you have called us to do, to be consistent in our relationship with you, Lord. And if by chance we have fallen short, Lord, if by chance we feel weak and inadequate, then I pray for a supernatural empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray.